Welcome to the Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman, brought to you, of course, by globalresearch.ca. Hopefully you'll visit the site daily. Oh, there is some very, very interesting material that was put up in the last 24 hours that I saw this morning. Absolutely visit the site, not during this program, but when the program is over, go to the site, globalresearch.ca. My guest today is Sue Ann Arrigo. Sue is a physician and a former CIA insider turned whistleblower. Last week, she told the Justice Department and the ACLU that just days earlier, CIA operatives tortured her in spite of an Obama executive order. It was in the news, made headlines. In spite of that executive order, the EO, banning torture, or at least it claimed to do it. Well, it did not do it. I wrote about it before I learned that Sue had been tortured. Sue, let me welcome you to the program and then just take a couple of minutes to set the table for you. A warm welcome to you. Sue, are you on?
Hello?
Sue? Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, I welcome you to the program. Let me just give a little background, and then after the first break, we'll come back and you can go into what's happened to you in recent days. I've written about torture. Last July, I wrote about torture under George Bush. The article is on Global Research. It's called Torture is Official U.S. Policy. Well, it didn't begin under George Bush. It's gone on for time immemorial. Go back to the very beginnings. And torture has been around, certainly in this country, most everywhere else. But I just covered the Bush era. It really kicked into high gear after 9/11. It was a military order, number one, that really set the table for an awful lot that followed subsequently. But I was amazed. I went looking to see what kind of documents I could find that really indicated what the administration authorized its people to do. And I was flabbergasted. I couldn't list them all, but there literally was a blizzard of official memoranda, memos, executive orders, you name it. It basically came down to one thing. They authorized the use of torture as official U.S. policy. It is still official U.S. policy. Obama's executive order banned it, except for one thing. It did not ban it. Back in the Bush era, there were two especially infamous memos written by a very notorious quartet, John Yoo, Jay Bybee, David Addington, these are people under Bush, and Alberto Gonzalez, certainly a name everybody's familiar with. First one was in August 2002. The second one in March 2003. It really became infamous. It became known as, in quote, the torture memo. It basically swept away all legalities and allowed torture in any form, in their words, short of organ failure. Well, occasionally there's organ failure. Well, oh, we're sorry, we made a mistake. Well, tell it to the corpse and the family. Torture was official policy then. The CIA has been involved in it almost, at least, well, close to its inception in 1947. Officially, they began, well, I know it's been documented that they began using it in the 1950s, experimenting, and they've been on it ever since. That means a break is coming. Let's take a break and come back, and I'll finish up quickly and then let Sue get into her experience. We'll be right back. Sue, let me just mention one more thing, and then I'll let you jump in and take over. Barack Obama's executive order banning torture, it is so full of holes. You that was. Sue, I want to have a bad connection. Maybe my producer can disconnect Sue. through and call back. We may have a bad connection.
Okay. I'll hang up.
Let's try that. Oh, if we get that noise, we will have a terrible time for the hour. Hang up, and Carrie, if you could call Sue back, maybe we can get a better connection. And I'll finish up with what I was saying. Obama's executive order, again, it is full of loopholes. The language is vague. It refers to individuals in custody under the effective control of an officer, an employee, some agent of the U.S. government. And it goes on and on and on, and it suggests, doesn't quite say it, but it suggests that torture is permissible in non-conflict areas, either by, or most likely by U.S. proxies, who may be under the control or guidance of CIA operatives, Pentagon people, or some other form of U.S. Supervision. Leon Panetta, when he had his congressional confirmation hearings, he explained that the practice of extraordinary rendition will continue. I think most listeners know what that is. For the few who don't, it means that we can pick up anybody on any pretext anywhere in the world and ship them off to what I like to call a torture prison. It could be our own, like the infamous one at our Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan, or it can be in Egypt or Morocco or Poland or who knows where, with a cooperative government agreeing to torture people for us. CIA people, or maybe Pentagon people or others, can be there supervising. Torture continues. My guest was tortured in the last few days. So are we connected again? Sometimes we have a bad connection. She went through it, and she will explain what's happened to her. But it came as no surprise to me, because I simply can't imagine that anything has stopped this practice. And I'm certain, oh, wonderful. One other comment, Sue, then you can jump on. I'm certain as we speak this morning, there are people being tortured either directly by U.S. people or by others supervised by U.S. people. Sue, I hope we have a better connection this time.
Yes, I hope so, too. I can hear you much better.
I think that does sound better. Let me let you take over and explain what has happened to you.
Thank you so much. I've been tortured in the last 48 hours again by the CIA. And so I would like to read mostly what I've written because my mind is a little bit addled from the recent torture. Now, when they torture me, what they do is they take me to the brink of death using electrical torture, using waterboarding, and I have been waterboarded several times since Obama took office. But they take you to the brink of death, and when you're passed out, they implant orders into your mind, into your subconscious mind, that the conscious mind doesn't have a chance to review. So they can trip you up later by your accidentally operating on your subconscious mind instead of your conscious mind. So I've written down what I wanted to say so I could process it through my conscious mind. I'm at high risk that they will charge me with a libel suit. So I do have to be careful what I say. So I would like to give you the background on how there's been this dreadful perversion of the American government that's occurred so that the shadow government is willing to torture even American children, because this is very outrageous. I want to expose to you that it's not just terrorist suspects that are being tortured by the CIA, but actually innocent American children. And this is what is so outrageous. And for decades, people have been trying to expose this and trying to get it corrected. And so far, we haven't had a great deal of success. Now, Bush went to war in Iraq, citing as a reason that Hussein was using chemical weapons and torture on his own people. But there's a whole book devoted to the U.S. testing chemical weapons on its own citizens. and CIA documents referenced in the book Bluebird by on MK Ultra by Dr. Colin Ross detailed how the CIA fed high doses of LSD to school children for up to a year in its mind control programs. The book Bluebird also exposed how the CIA fed some American school children radioactive oatmeal. Many children died in the CIA experiments, and it's been just dreadfully covered up. A lawyer who tried Charles Manson for a fewer number of murders and had a successful record of 22 murder prosecutions out of 22 wrote a book called The Trial of Bush Jr. for Murder. He said that the evidence is very strong that Bush wittingly committed murder of our servicemen when he sent them off to war based on information that he knew was false. His first Secretary of Treasury has stated in the book he wrote that the first meeting of the National Security Council under Bush in February 2001, the issue of how to go to war in Iraq to get their oil was already being discussed. It was not the result of 9/11. The neocons had already stated in the planning document, The New American Century, that they needed a catastrophe like Pearl Harbor to force American public opinion into being willing to go to war to get the oil. In 2004, I was the negotiator between my boss, Tennant, and Vice President Cheney on who would be the fall guy for not preventing 9/11. Those negotiations left no doubt that 9/11 was an inside job orchestrated by the neocon cabal. The Muslims were the patsies. 9/11 allowed the neocons to go to war to get the oil in the Middle East and to pretty much destroy the Constitution and plummet the rule of law back into the dark ages of torture. Tennant ended up taking the blame for 9/11 and resigning. Cheney was mad at me for representing Tennant's position so well and wanted me out of the CIA. In August 2004, he gave me an illegal assignment to frame Iran as developing nuclear weapons. When I refused, he threatened my mother's life. The next week, I was kidnapped, tortured for 4 days, waterboarded, drugged, and then thrown into a locked mental ward to discredit and silence me. Russ Tice, the NSA analyst who blew the whistle on domestic spying, was thrown into a mental hospital also to discredit him as crazy. This is the CIA's favorite way to get rid of whistleblowers. The journalist Susan Landau, who brought a message back from Iraq before the war, but Hussein was quite willing to have the weapons inspectors back, was similarly thrown in the mental hospital, kept drugged, to prevent her from speaking. The Soviets used to silence dissidents this way in Stalin's days. The U.S. administration wanted to go to war, and they were going to make a lot of money through Cheney's Halliburton and Bush's Carlyle Industries Consortium of Weapons Manufacturers. These men are in the business to start wars so they can buy their umpteenth pension. It doesn't bother them that the war will kill and maim large numbers of innocent people. I want to spend about 5 minutes on the historical background of why the CIA tortures people, because it will give you the big picture. You can read this material, all properly referenced, in my special reports, Arrigo, at www.libertycalling.com. I'll repeat that again later so that you can have a chance to go to that site.
And so if anyone wants to contact you, you can provide your email address to them as well.
Yes, my email address. I have a lot of material to cover. And if you have questions, please email me at intuitivemd@gmail.com. And I'll repeat that again, too. But it's intuitivemd@gmail.com. All small letters all run together for the Intuitive MD.
Let me say it once, too. Intuitive, like being intuitive, MD1@gmail.com, and then you can repeat it later, Sue.
Yes, it doesn't really matter whether the one is in there or not. They both go to the same place, so we're okay. Kissinger, who was head of a Luciferian group, wrote in a national security memo that depopulation must be the U.S.'s first priority in relation to the third world. Kissinger was a protege of Nelson Rockefeller, and the Rockefellers funded eugenics in the United States in the 1920s and helped expand it to Germany. Both the Rockefeller family and the Bush family heavily backed the eugenics movement and killing and torture as if it were a religion to them. Read Tarpley's unauthorized biography of George Bush Sr. for the documentation. They were the major funders of Hitler along with Ford of the Ford Motor Foundation. Hitler was so poor before they came along that in the 1920s he had to take out a loan to buy a used car. So they funded Hitler.
We need to interrupt again for a commercial. Also read William Engel's Seeds of Destruction, because this material is covered in that book, Kissinger and his infamous memo and so on, and it goes back many decades. Very ugly stuff. We'll be right back.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Bill Engel's book, Seeds of Destruction. I just went back and took a peek. Population extermination was an old policy under the Rockefellers and Henry Kissinger. Back in 1974, he had a secret project called National Security Study Memorandum 200, NSM, NSSM 200, eliminating population, what it was all about. Exterminate cleverly millions of people through hidden contraception, a little starvation, and I guess a war here and there as well. Very dirty stuff going back many, many decades, and the Rockefellers very definitely were involved in this. Sue, let me let you continue.
So they funded Hitler because his father was an illegitimate son of a Rothschild, and they were part of Rothschild's banking empire as part of the New World Order. Hitler had agreed to break the backs of the trade unions and impoverish everyone so that the industrialists could have dirt cheap labor. And in the 1934, U.S. industrialists that I mentioned, plus the DuPonts, the Morgans, the Harrimans, and others, funded a coup against the U.S. government to put a fascist in the White House. Fascism was called corporatism by Mussolini because the functional definition of fascism is to put the profits of corporations ahead of human rights. Clearly, these industrialists were not for freedom and democracy when they hired General Smedley Butler to put a fascist in the White House to rule the world with Hitler and Mussolini. General Butler, as you can read in a book called The Plot to Seize the White House, complained to Congress. Congress was so corrupt it didn't put the traitors to the Constitution in jail. Three times during World War II, as a direct result of that, the U.S. had to seize some of Prescott Bush's companies as Nazi front organizations. Prescott Bush and his business partner, Thyssen, made 50% of the steel and 35% of the explosives which the Nazis used for their war effort, according to the records in the U.S. Library of Congress. He and his partner had steel and coal mines in Poland, including near Auschwitz. The Polish government in the 1930s threatened to nationalize them because the companies were cooking their books and not paying taxes. Hitler's invasion of Poland put an end to that threat to their companies. According to a former U.S. prosecutor of the Nazis who became head of a Holocaust museum in Florida, the Rockefeller and Bush families built the Auschwitz labor camps in order to have the slave labor. And the Bush family made $1.5 million off the slave labor at a time when that money was a lot more. This is a direct quote. Emil Helfrich, chief executive of both Standard Oil's German subsidiary, and Hermann Busch and Hitler's Hamburg American Lines, testified after the war that money to pay the SS guards at the Auschwitz death camp was paid out of a Standard Oil bank account. That's the end of the quote. After the war, Rockefeller Standard Oil was fined $5,000 for traitorously giving the Nazis the secret formula on how to turn coal into gasoline while not giving it to the Allies. But the traitors in those families who made the decisions were not charged and prosecuted. According to a Dutch intelligence officer, Prescott Bush managed a portion of the slave labor at Auschwitz. That would be very hard to believe, except under Bush Jr. as president, the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad was being built using slave labor, according to Mayberry's testimony before Congress. But Auschwitz was just a small part of the story, because documents I saw in the private Rockefeller archives showed that all except two of Hitler's labor camps were built by the Rockefeller and their downlines, including the Bushes. Many people know that 12 million people were murdered in the extermination camps, but few people are aware that the Nazis abducted another 12 million people, mainly from Eastern Europe, to use as slaves in factories. Many were starved or worked to death on purpose, but their numbers are not added to those who died in the Holocaust. Torture was used in the Nazi camps to terrorize large numbers of people into obeying just a few people. Nazi mind control experiments had the goal of controlling people against their will. Shortly after the Nazis lost the war militarily, the CIA was started and continued with that same goal to do mind control research to control people and populations against their will under CIA Operation MKUltra. We're talking about millions of U.S. taxpayers' dollars being spent to figure out how to torture the American population into submission. 80 different universities and research facilities in U.S. and Canada joined this torture project, which was aimed mainly at children, to cause them to become mind control slaves to the Rockefellers, Bushes, Fords, etc. It was this cabal of death-worshipping industrialists which started the CIA. One of their first actions was to import Nazi scientists and spies into the CIA by the thousands, including the torturers at Auschwitz, like Joseph Mengele. One author claimed that half of the early CIA spies were Nazis. I was shocked to find that Nazis in the CIA were paid exactly the same wages to the dollar that they had earned under Hitler after the currency conversion. The reason was that it was really the same bosses paying them.
Let's do that, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Let me let you pick up where you left off.
Yes, thank you. When President Kennedy found out that the CIA was a front for illegal activities of Skull and Bones and the Rockefellers, which included running drugs and sex slaves and selling illegal weapons and so on, then he wanted to end that. Particularly the problem was that these same people had started World War I and World War II to bomb out the independent shopkeepers and force everyone into wage slavery. President Kennedy decided to shut down the CIA. Nelson Rockefeller was the one who ordered him assassinated. And you can read about how the other conspirators in that plot to assassinate JFK at my website. One of those was a man who was called Brown. He was one of the early founders of Kellogg, Root & Brown, which then became part of Halliburton. and he was involved in the assassination of JFK. The head of the CIA, Alan Dulles, who Kennedy fired over the Bay of Pigs fiasco, was also another conspirator. After Kennedy fired him, Nelson Rockefeller had Kennedy appoint McCone as director of Central Intelligence, and he became part of that same team to kill Kennedy. So Kennedy, by following Rockefeller's advice, put his own Rockefeller's hitmen in place in U.S. intelligence, men that were more loyal to Rockefeller than to Kennedy. George Bush, and at the time he was working as a covert operator for the Bay and the Bay of Pigs operation Zapata, but because he was the son of longtime Rockefeller co-conspirator Prescott Bush, he was part of that planning committee on the assassination of JFK. You can read that in my reports at www.libertycalling.com. Heads of the media were also involved in that conspiracy. One of the Hearsts backed out of the cover-up years later, and the CIA had his daughter, Patty Hearst, kidnapped, raped, and sensory-deprived in the dark closet to torture him and then him by proxy. After she was released, she was thrown into jail as if she were a criminal. She hadn't been until they destroyed her will to oppose them and they forced her to commit a bank robbery. You can read the documentation that the CIA runs illegal drugs and sex slaves in my at my website, special reports at libertycalling.com. But the problem is that it's not just the run-of-the-mill things that they are involved in. They're all Bush Sr. sold chemical and biological weapons to Spain to make a buck. The go-between for that deal was Rumsfeld. That was a clear conflict of interest for a sitting president to make a profit on selling arms, so that's what's done all the time. This is why the U.S. goes to war over and over again without another country actually attacking it. Reagan said, the Nicaraguans are coming. Bush Jr. said, Hussein poses an imminent threat. It was all lies. The U.S. was committing war crimes and using torture to silence its critics. It was selling weapons of mass destruction, including the nuclear missiles that Bush Sr. sold to China. So you can read about that in Al Martin's book, The Conspirators, which is quite a good book for a number of reasons. The cabal pretends that other countries are dangerous because they might make nuclear weapons in the future. But it was Bush Jr.'s administration which posted on the White House website in Arabic how to make nuclear weapons. They want other countries to try to make them to give them an excuse to go in and take over their country and their oil. The U.S. is the only country in the world which says we reserve the right to strike first with nuclear weapons whenever and wherever we like, even against our allies. This is terrorism with a capital T. And the U.S. pretends that it's using torture to collect intelligence. That's just more lies. People under torture will say anything to get the pain to stop. The CIA wasn't torturing the people who knew anything about 9/11. They would have had to torture people in the White House to even have a chance of getting a word of truth about 9/11 planning to slip out. The CIA was torturing Muslims to create false confessions so that the U.S. administration could blame the Muslims for 9/11 when they did it themselves. That's why the trials are so slow in coming and the evidence secret. The evidence is being kept secret to preserve the national secret that the neocons started al-Qaeda, planned 9/11, and committed mass murder on 9/11 in the interest of profits into their back pockets. For the proof that the neocons started al-Qaeda, see the three-part BBC documentary, The Power of Nightmares. You can see that by searching on Google videos for The Power of Nightmares. For the evidence that the 9/11 was committed by the neocons, there are a lot of documentaries, including Loose Change and talks by a Christian theologian, David Griffin. And yeah, there are many good books on that. I personally know that 9/11 was committed by the U.S. government because Director of Central Intelligence Tenet sent me over to the Pentagon in late August 2001 to remove 9/11 planning documents so that the firefighters would not stumble across them on September 11th. There were so many of them, I had to remove one large moving van worth of them in order to get them even out of the way of the firefighters without trying to remove them from all of the Pentagon because there were too many of them. The side of the Pentagon slated for the incoming missile, the fake 9/11, was the side under reconstruction. That pretty much guaranteed that only the civilian contractors were killed, not Pentagon personnel. I handed personally to Tenet, Bush, Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld, and members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff my 8-page report pleading with them to call 9/11 off. Unfortunately, they decided to go against it. All my calls to the media and to the International Court of The Hague were cut off, as were my faxes, and I was unable to get the message out. I became part of this not by choice, but because under CIA MK Ultra, I had been tortured starting at age 3 to force me into a life of slavery to the New World Order. MK Ultra sexually tortured American children into being spies and assassins. I was able to get out of being an assassin by being very clever and finding other jobs for me to do. But the idea of MK Ultra was to create expendable, deniable assets to do the dirty work that the CIA didn't want their name to be even remotely connected to. And sexual torture is so abhorrent to the human mind that a person would rather lose their memory of the events than have to face what happened to them. So sexual torture, like at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, was used by the CIA as official covert policy even against American children. It was just dreadful. And many of the survivors have talked about being put in cages and being kept naked. It's just, I can't even talk about it, really. The Bush administration has still not released all the torture memos to the public. One of the memos written by White House lawyer John Yoo argued that the commander-in-chief could order the crushing of the testicles of a child. Why would he make such a horrendous argument? Because that was what the CIA was already doing, even to innocent American children in Operation MKUltra. Survivors of MKUltra gave testimony before the President Clinton's Advisory Committee on Unethical Radiation Experiments. You can listen to their testimony on YouTube. There's a lot of information out there for people to look at. The CIA never stopped these programs. They said they did. All they did was change their names. The CIA never stopped kidnapping American children. It goes on every day. Obama still allows the CIA to kidnap people. The CIA never stopped the programs to torture American children. His order to end torture ends with the last line, which says that the order is not enforceable in law. You can read that on the White House website under executive orders. It says that U.S. officials must comply with the U.N. Convention Against Torture, but Obama himself is not in compliance with it. The U.N. Convention Against Torture requires that all allegations of torture be effectively investigated and prosecuted. How can we believe that Obama is serious about ending the torture of American children by the CIA when I gave him the information on the existence of these ongoing CIA programs? And he's not even called me up to ask him about them. If you were President of the United States and a former high-ranking member of the CIA who'd been an intelligence advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, reported to you that the CIA was torturing American children, wouldn't you have immediately ordered an investigation and prosecution of the torturers and who ordered it? Now, some people are going to say that Obama's staff never gave him my messages or briefed him on these covert CIA programs, so how could he stop them? But he's the commander-in-chief and appointed these people. He's responsible to appoint competent people who would tell him the truth and have the skill and experience to do so. Obama's first nomination to Director of Central Intelligence was John Brennan. He had to be dropped from consideration from the post after some news articles pointed out that he was as pro-torture as chains. Obama knew that when he reassigned John Brennan, a former director of National Counterintelligence Center, to be his in-house advisor on counterterrorism and homeland security. Which terrorists in the United States are they worried about? The NSA and CIA were spying on Quakers and having people like Amy Goodman, a radio host on Democracy Now!, arrested on false charges. The CIA and NSA have targeted the war protesters for surveillance. They are refusing to investigate the war crimes and murders committed by the Rockefellers using frontmen like Bush and Cheney. Obama's lawyers are acting as felons by advising Obama that he can avoid prosecution of criminals just because they helped him to get elected, when in fact prosecution of criminals is required to make it safe for children to walk to school, and it's required by law to lock them up. I reported Obama's lawyers to the District of Columbia's bar and asked them to be disbarred from practicing law because they are wittingly aiding and abetting the torture of American children. George Bush Jr. was under investigation for the murder of 17 people in the death worship cult in Texas, of which he was a member. He admitted in his autobiography that he was a member of Skull and Bones and then said he couldn't say anything more about it. Why? Because all they do is criminal. Those 17 people were found dead, murdered by a particular form of torture, which is too gruesome to mention on the air. But in my reports, you can read about how that same form of torture was used to kill 168 members of the CIA at a time when Bush and Cheney were not happy with the CIA. Bush Jr., after these 17 people were killed, 3 days later, couldn't give no account of his whereabouts. When reporters questioned him about it when he ran for president in 2000, reporters were threatened for asking him. The reply he gave was along the lines, "Don't ask me something which may or may not have happened over a decade ago. Let's only look forward." Then a woman in Sugar Land, Texas, filed a suit against Bush for raping her, like the women who accused Bonesman Clinton and Kerry of rape. The Sugar Land police refused to prosecute the case, and she was found dead later after she reported that she'd called the White House and Bush Jr. had threatened to kill her. You can pull up her legal papers in the courtroom records by going to my special reports at www.libertycolumn.com. Many of the survivors of the CIA torture mind control program say that Bush Sr. was one of the men who raped them. That is documented in the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and articles about it. You can also find a whole list of references and information on these mind control programs and testimonies by the survivors in my 5-part series called Case 24. Did someone make money off of U.S. torture? I haven't gotten a chance yet to update it with the scams of falsely jailed kids in the United States to get kickbacks from the prison. The Rockefellers, Bushes, and Cheney made money off the torture of Iraqis in the Abu Ghraib prison, and they've made money off of the imprisonment of innocent people in the United States. Briefly, the scam in Iraq went like this. Before the UN resolution to allow the U.S. to go to war in Iraq, the administration awarded a private security company, CACI, a contract to conduct 2 hours of interrogations a day on terrorist suspects, guaranteeing them a minimum number of thousands of interrogations a day. The fees per hour were exorbitant to allow ample kickbacks to the Rockefellers, Bush, and Cheney et al. Under the table. When the scandal of Abu Ghraib hit the press, Bush said that the torture was due to a few bad apples. I went myself to 3 prisons in Iraq immediately afterwards as a CIA physician and documented that the torture was widespread and the result of covert official policy. My report, which I personally handed to Rumsfeld, Tenet, Bush, Cheney, Rice, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, generals, was buried. It was only later that the U.S. memos allowing Bush to torture under false legal arguments were uncovered. All of the people, including the lawyers, were part of a conspiracy to commit torture for profit. The American taxpayer ended up paying for the torture of innocent Iraqis, including women and children. There was no al-Qaeda in Iraq. The CIA created Iraqi training camps that they called al-Qaeda training camps. They did that in order to claim that there would be a civil war in Iraq if the U.S. pulled out by funding the insurgents. They also sexually tortured Iraqis that they had bound it up in dragnet operations while the U.S. military killed their children and destroyed their homes. They have planted into their minds under torture the wish to die while fighting for freedom. And then they sent them out as suicide bombers to targets that they chose. That included oil wells so that they could claim that they couldn't give the Iraqis back their oil wells because they couldn't guard them. It was my belief that 80% of the sectarian violence in Iraq in 2004 was due to CIA operations so that they could claim that they couldn't pull out without there being a civil war. There were no al-Qaeda training camps in Iraq when the U.S. invaded. Just like there were no weapons of mass destruction.
We have another break coming up, and then when we come back, we have a brief segment. Maybe you could conclude with comments, and maybe you and I can exchange a comment or two, because we'll have about 3 minutes left when we come back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. Topic is torture. Host is Sue Anna Regan. Sue, can you hear me? Sue?
I will post all of the information that I wanted to put into this talk at the website in my special reports at libertycalling.com. I also included information on how to endure torture so that people can stop being afraid of torture. Pain is not something that's so hard for people to endure that they don't go on having children. Women have children all the time. Pain is not really the problem. Fear of pain is more of the problem, and God can take that fear away. So I recommend that people pray. If they're atheists, they can pray to the Buddhist concept of emptiness, empty of selfishness, or empty of wrong views. But if people will spend some time on their knees, getting acquainted with the power of prayer to get rid of that resistance to the pain and just let the pain be there and be comfortable with it, they can stop being afraid of pain.
So I've written so much about foreign wars, wars for oil, torture, you name it. I mean, one abuse after another. And we're a nation that claims to be one of laws, not of men. But the laws are irrelevant, whether they're U.S. laws, whether they're international laws. We frankly do as we damn please. And anybody that may interfere or who we see as a challenge to us, we'll go after them any way that we have to. Whether it's an individual, whether it's a nation. And this is the way it goes on, administration after administration. Doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. This is a bipartisan effort, and it's gone on for time immemorial. My goodness. Sue, do you want to give listeners a way to reach you?
I'm trouble hearing you, but I would like to say that I proved within the CIA that it's possible to do all of the CIA's ethical tasks to protect national security completely, cleanly, nonviolently, and ethically. So there's no excuse not to change over to a clean, transparent system. The only reason that hasn't been done is that they want to continue running illegal operations, and that is quite clear. But it doesn't have to be that way. And one person such as a Gandhi or a Nelson Mandela, by committing themselves, can change things. And a group of people can do the same. So please
keep on. And I think that really the best way is to do it completely non-government.
So this program and globalresearch.ca are both dedicated to changing the way things are, because they can't go on this way forever. Sooner or later, we sow the seeds of our own destruction. It's the way of all empires in the past. I don't believe there's any single exception in history. And the U.S.
But the other thing about history is that things can change very rapidly. The whole Soviet Union collapsed suddenly. The Berlin Wall came down suddenly. So there can be sudden changes that can really make a big difference. So it's important to have that concept that we really can make a difference. And
we absolutely can make a difference. And there's no question in a small way I think I do a bit, reaching people around the world. I wish it were bigger numbers, but I definitely reach them. And I've written a little bit reviewing one book in particular, how enough people decided to make an effort great enough, and because of what they did and how they persisted at it, they made great changes, like ending slavery, which at one time in this country was thought to be impossible. Well, it wasn't. We ended it. We had civil rights. We had the labor movement. We've backtracked so much. We need to stop it and start turning it in another direction. So we're out of time. That music means we'll break away. I just have time
thank
to thank you,
so you
for coming on. It's a big topic. I won't leave it, I promise.
Good.
And again, my great thanks to you for sharing some of your experience.
With recent internet.